You're listening to the Bitcoin.com Exchange Podcast. Our guest today is Gene, Head of Communications at Etherlight.
The opinions, beliefs, and viewpoints expressed by various guests or sponsors of the podcast are solely their own. They do not necessarily reflect those of the podcast host or the other people, entities, or organizations affiliated with the creation or production of the podcast. The guest and sponsor may consider their information reliable, but others involved in the creation or presentation of the podcast do not warrant the accuracy of guest or sponsor information, and it should not be relied upon.
This episode is brought to you by the Bitcoin.com Exchange, the exchange you can trust. Buy and sell Bitcoin as well as 250 digital assets. The Bitcoin.com Exchange is secure, fast, easy, and reliable. Register within seconds and buy crypto with a credit or debit card. Join our community of traders now. Exchange.bitcoin.com. I'm your host, Dustin Plantholt. Join us as we dive into the world of economics, politics, tech, Bitcoin, and cryptocurrency. For even more crypto-related news, sign up at news.bitcoin.com or follow us on Twitter at BitcoinCom. Now let's bring on our guest. Gene, welcome to the show.
It's an honor to be here.
Thank you for joining us. So Gene, I'd like to get to know the guest's story of how they first got introduced to Bitcoin. I mean, how did you get involved in the space?
Yeah, so that was when I left my job as a banker. So I was exploring opportunities and I stumbled across this friend who told me about crypto, and that's how I first learned about it. That was actually the perfect timing for me because that was bull run in 2017. So I really went all in and like, whoa. But it was actually also the time that I think most of the listeners here can relate, right? That when they get into crypto, they wanted it's money. The monetary rewards is really rewarding. But 2018 came, the bearish trend. It was actually the time that I wanted to get serious with crypto, that I was really losing my investment. So I thought that I'm going to get rich here. But I realized that there is more to crypto than just money. Because I think money is just a relative of what's the development that's going on behind the scenes, that the advancement of the technology that's being done inside the blockchain. So I really believe that there is a future. This is the future. So I started getting involved with startups, companies, leading communities. Because I think without your community, a platform is really useless, no matter how perfect it is. So I realized that there's really marketing psychology when dealing with community, because they really, most of the newbies rely on the price and the technical people rely on the technology. So you have to compromise and get in between on those people, different people that you wanted to communicate or deliver the platforms that you're trying to introduce to them. So that's actually how I started.
I think that's fascinating, because a lot of the listeners out there, that's usually how they got in as well. A friend told them about this space called cryptocurrency. A friend told them about Bitcoin, and they went off and bought it. And unfortunately, the market does what the market does. I mean, there are cycles to any market in the world. But you seem to dig a little bit deeper, that you wanted to learn, well, what is this thing called blockchain? I mean, for you, what's this journey been like, and how did you dig in? Where did you get your information from?
Yeah, it's really hard for me coming from someone who doesn't have technical knowledge, but I think as a banker, I had a bit of experience. So I just incorporate my knowledge in the banking industry, and at the same time, because I really love researching, I really love learning new things. So when I learned about crypto, I think that, so it was 2017 and it's 2021, and I can say that we're still in the early stage. So there's really...
Wait, did I just hear you say that we are still in the early stage? Like, is this still just the beginning?
Yes, there's still a lot of things to learn. There's still a lot of things to improve on. In fact, Ethereum right now, they're still trying to solve the current issues. So definitely blockchain will evolve over time. And I believe that it's here to stay. It's actually solving the real world problems at the moment. So I got in 2018, I got serious in this industry and realized that this is the future. There is blockchain technology, something that everyone should spend time to learn about, since we are going digital and blockchain is the powerful tool that can help you with that.
Now, what kind of problems does blockchain solve exactly? Because this word blockchain is being used now across the world. I mean, is it solving problems? And if so, what kind of problems does it solve?
Yeah, like transparency and also like for education. So there are a lot of problems right now in education or in the healthcare section. So it's hard for you to trace your... I have to focus first on one topic, I guess. So I guess maybe let's start with education. I found some tokens that are now incorporating education and tokenizing it, offering their services and putting their information inside the blockchain. Because blockchain is not just a peer-to-peer network. It's not just a ledger where you can transact with your payments. So one example as well is payments. But so going back to education, so they're tokenizing education. So if you wanted to put on or to put on your information inside it, it's like, it's actually like internet. Like it's the advanced version of internet, wherein you can get more information. You can develop applications. That's why there is already decentralized applications, even minting your own assets, like non-fungible assets, creating your own platforms, your games. And it's like the real world inside the blockchain, right? So it's really an amazing platform.
It sounds a little bit like magic. I mean, how does this work? How does this magic work?
It's actually because of the developers that are. It's I'm not really a technical person, but and to my understanding, it is possible because of Bitcoin. The history of Bitcoin, it evolves, and then Buterin also developed a blockchain that cannot just process as a peer-to-peer transaction, but can also create application. So in our, we are now in Web2, right, where applications in the computer, you can use your phone, you have your Facebook. But I think this is the future wherein you have your decentralized application inside the blockchain, and it's decentralized. The problem with those Web2 applications is that they are centralized. Your data is collected. Right, but with this space, you are free and your data is secured. You have the control of your funds, of your assets, and all the information that you can own here. This is a decentralized space, and I think we're going that way. It may take years, but of course, I really believe that we are going that road.
Now, how does it become secure? I mean, what exactly a part of the blockchain? How do you secure your assets? I mean, how do you secure them or secure the data?
So there's actually consensus mechanism in the blockchain. It's a Bitcoin. It's proof of work because you cannot duplicate transactions or you cannot. Anything that you do in the blockchain is definitely going to be rejected if it's invalid. So definitely there's a security. And with our blockchain, with Etherlight, we are POS consensus, which is a proof of stake mechanism. So it's less energy consumption and it's also fast and very scalable. So instead of mining energy, the miners here are the stakers. So for you to validate transactions, you just need to stake your coins inside the blockchain.
Wow. So again, talk about what else Etherlight is up to. I mean, what sort of problems are you looking to solve?
Yeah, so Etherlight is actually an extremely scalable blockchain running on a POS consensus. So the interesting part here is that it is fully EVM compatible. So that means that all Ethereum applications can run on Etherlight. We all know that Ethereum has this massive ecosystem. But because of this success, they're also the victim of their own success and that this scalability issues arrive. So with that, we are actually not trying to kill. There are blockchains are claiming to be an Ethereum killer, right? But with Etherlight, we are not trying to kill another blockchains. In fact, we are offering alternative blockchains. So with Etherlight, we are a proof of stake. We're in our Explorer right now. We have our mainnet already working live. Explorer shows an average block time of approximately 3 seconds. So, and we can accommodate up to 10,000 transactions per second. So unlike Ethereum, which can only accommodate 15 to 25 transactions. So that's really something that it's extremely scalable. And we were able to test. We do have our users right now who was able to test the blockchain, and it will only take you seconds, and the fees is less than a cent. So in addition to that, our users can also stake and earn passive rewards. So this, since this is a proof of stake mechanism, they can just stake and earn passive rewards, which they can earn weekly. They can claim it weekly if they wanted to, or they just have to add it so that they can earn more rewards, because your rewards will be based on the amount you stake inside the blockchain.
Wow. So now also kind of tell us about, you know, how long it, you know, I like to look at it from a programming aspect. I mean, how many hours went into developing this, you know, this project? I mean, what does it take once the idea hit the team's head and they said, all right, we're going to come out with this thing? It didn't happen within a week or a month. I mean, how long did it take to build?
Yeah, it takes over a year and about 24/7 cycle. We work in a 24/7 cycle. In fact, I work every waking days of my
you don't get a break. What you're saying is, Dustin, I don't get a break. I'm always on.
I'm passionate about it. I love what I'm doing. And I believe that this is the solutions that we're looking for right now, because Ethereum 2.0 will take time. It's will take time to be completed. And with Etherlight, this is we are just providing more alternatives to the user. In fact, we were able to successfully bridge to Ethereum, so our ETL can also run on Ethereum blockchain. So we are also solving the interoperability, wherein you can communicate with different blockchains, right? Since at the moment, if you have your own token running on a certain blockchain, you cannot move that to another blockchain. You need to do something, or there should be a development or inside the blockchain that will allow another blockchain for you to communicate with them. So with Etherlight, we were able to successfully bridge to Ethereum, and then we will bridge more blockchains in the coming months. So really, we just wanted to provide an alternative blockchain where they can communicate with other blockchains as well. We're not trying to kill other blockchains out there. It's actually a good idea to have more alternatives to make it more, I mean, to for less congestion in the blockchain, right? So it's just that people are really constrained of their... they do have their biases, right? When it comes to blockchain, I love this one, I love this one, and they just stay there. So how can you grow? How this blockchain can grow as an ecosystem, or how will the mass adoption will grow without a communication between different blockchains? So Etherlight will bridge more blockchains so that it will be easier for our user to use ETL on several blockchains.
Wow, so you didn't build a walled garden. You're allowing it to connect with others.
Yes, correct. Because that's actually the main thing here. We wanted to connect to everyone, because there are restrictions, right, outside the blockchain. But in blockchain, it's possible. It's fast. It's easy. It's like instant. So that's also the goal of Etherlight, to communicate with other blockchains, provide cheaper alternative solution to the existing problems right now, since there is a massive growth to the adoption. So more and more people are learning, even the new students or even the children right now. So I do know some people who are playing NFT games just to earn. So they're just child. So really, there is a massive demand for blockchain. So we have to innovate. We have to provide more solutions. And that's where Etherlight comes in.
And community. I mean, talk about building your community. What's that process been like?
It was really, to be honest, it was really a hard process, because with Etherlight, we do have a lot of newbies in the space. And right now, with the market trends, they tend to panic. They tend to really question their investment. They tend to question whether to sell at a loss or just remain in the project. So the question here is that when you try to incorporate yourself in a certain project, you have to make sure, or to ask yourself, what are the solutions this project is trying to provide in this space? Because there are a lot of projects right now that doesn't have a value, or I'm sorry, that has value but doesn't have an actual solution. It just exists there. example, the meme coins. I'm sorry to say this, but I'm not against it. That's why it's just a meme. But if you want to take it seriously, if you want to sleep well or without worries about your investment, you have to really do your own research on the investment that you want to get in this space. A project that you think that will last long over the years, something that will provide solution, that has provide value in this space. So that, I think, is the most important, is communicating with your community on how you can deliver these features and the future and how to relay them, what's going to come in the future when they invest in Etherlight. So that's actually a bit of a process, because we have to, there are technical people who believe in us. And as what I mentioned earlier, there are newbies. So different personalities, different people from different walks of life. It was really challenging. So I've been guiding as well the moderators to really be patient and at the same time deliver the right words to the people. Because one wrong word, it's really the market will flip in an instant. So you really have to be cautious as well in this space, especially dealing with the community, because they are your supporters.
You know, I love what you said, do your own research. You know, many times we like to rely on the research that others have done, but it is something that comes back on ourselves, that anything that you decide to buy in life, make sure you've done your own research.
Yes.
you're making the decision. Ultimately, you own whatever decision you make. So how do we learn more about Etherlight?
So for you to learn more about Etherlight, they just have to visit etherlight.org. And it's a good thing that you ask. We actually are supporting innovators and startup creators to build in our blockchain right now. And we are providing $100 million grants to innovators that can provide value in this space. If you have a solution to a certain problem, definitely just go to smartgrant.etherlight.org and apply, because we will be providing grants to innovators who will make a difference in this space.
Jean, thank you again for sharing your story on the Bitcoin.com Exchange podcast.
Thanks for having me, Dustin.
The opinions, beliefs, and viewpoints expressed by various guests or sponsors of the podcast are solely their own. They do not necessarily reflect those of the podcast host or the other people, entities, or organizations affiliated with the creation or production of the podcast. The guest and sponsor may consider their information reliable, but others involved in the creation or presentation of the podcast do not warrant the accuracy of guest or sponsor information, and it should not be relied upon.
You've listened to another episode of the Bitcoin.com podcast. Subscribe at news.bitcoin.com, where your journey begins.